It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and we are not here to do a full episode right now.
No, we're not.
This is just a little midweek morsel, something to tide you over. Now, we do these midweek morsels from time to time in our show when we feel that something has happened in the Bachelor world that deserves a little more scrutiny. We did it when Reality Steve appeared on Nick Viall's podcast. We did it when Colton Underwood appeared on Reality Steve's podcast. And this week, something has happened in the Bachelor world that we feel is deserving of this scrutiny. Prior to this, we have given these episodes no name. It was just Game of Roses reaction to. But we realize it's something more than that, because as we build the pit, what these moments really are for us is digging deeper. And so that's what we're going to call this segment when we do it from time to time. This is Game of Roses.
Digging Deeper.
This episode of Digging Deeper is the September 9th episode of The Viall Files, where he interviews Victoria Fuller for her first podcast interview since her time on PP's season. And let me just tell you, I have never felt such rage listening to a podcast episode in my entire fucking life.
Why? Why did you feel rage at this, if I may ask, if it's not too personal a question?
Did you not?
No, I felt nothing.
Oh my God. And again, maybe this says more about where I'm at. Let me give you some context. I'm in San Francisco. There are forest fires everywhere. The world is on fire. And Clues is like, we gotta dig deeper on this. Look, this is an emergency. And I start listening, and it's these two nincompoops talking about fucking trash, and they're saying nothing, and they're laughing so much at nothing, and they're not mentioning COVID at all. They're pretending like the world is not on fire, and it was incredibly hard for me to get through.
You called them nincompoops.
Yeah.
Now that's some real rage. I did not feel any rage. I felt only cold indifference. I felt only an objective understanding of what I was listening to. But I did feel there were some very important things said in this, some things that were definitely worth more scrutiny. And so how we're going to do this is how we have done it in the past. We're just going to play some clips, and then we're going to tell you what our thoughts on those clips are. So the first one is at the very beginning of the podcast. It's very short. It's just something that I thought was interesting. Here it is.
What is going on, everybody?
What's going on?
How are you?
I'm good.
So good. We have a great episode for you today. I'm very excited to bring this to you.
We're the first.
Oh, God, I love being the first. Victoria Fuller.
What part of this clip drew you in? Is it the loving being the first? Because he's always the second?
It's exactly that. He loves being the first, but yet he never has been. Except arguably on Caitlin Bristow's season. He was the first at something. It's indicative of his highly competitive nature that even in this context, and he's using this also, I feel like he's layering it with a little bit of a sexual tone.
Oh yeah, his producer is maybe saying in the background something about popping cherries.
Did she really?
Digging deeper.
So clearly it has this strange sexual connotation, but also there is this highly competitive connotation. This kind of sets the tone for really what this entire hour-long interview is. He gets very sexual with Victoria Fuller, and he openly talks about gameplay multiple times throughout this entire interview. We are going to hear some more of those clips. What did you think of this initial offering?
I think it is the first little morsel of what this nincompoop is going to be talking about this whole episode. K, Can you sense from this clip that there's a pandemic going on? No, you cannot at all. And I think that that vibe should run through every piece of media at this time.
I agree. Even as I'm sitting here in Los Angeles right now, my sky is orange. It wasn't as bad as yours in San Francisco, but this is not normal, what I'm looking at out my window.
Yeah.
It's 100% clear the world is fucking ending. That is happening now. And we all do whatever we can, I suppose, to ignore it as best we can. I'm incapable of doing it. Virtually everything I do in my life now is in some way affected by the fact that the world is ending. At least, not the world, but humanity as we knew it. That's fucking done now. We're going to start seeing red skies, things on fire. All that shit is commonplace, and no one seems to give a fuck, including Nick Vial and Victoria Fuller through this whole interview. Anyway, let's move on to clip number two as the world burns around us.
Your first bit of drama that you were involved in
that really was specific to you
was the Chase Rice stuff.
Yeah.
And minus the off camera, of which even on this show, I was a bit critical of how he handled the that stuff. You were just, I mean, there's not much there. You were totally, for anyone, what was that relationship, if anything? How surprised were you? Like, what were you mad at the producers? What was going on? Because that was a very unique, for that to happen to anyone.
I don't want to get too deep into that because I just don't even think he's worth my time or our time sitting here talking. But I will say that it was extremely surprising. And him and I had whatever you want to call it, like over a couple months span. And yeah, like a week before I left for the show, him and I had, and people know this, like I went to go see him in Charlotte where he was performing, and that was that. But yeah,
but
it
like
was
you
extremely
like hung out after the concert was done.
I mean, yeah, we were in communication. I'm not going to say we're boyfriend and girlfriend, but we were communicating and we were hanging out.
We were touching. And stuff.
Okay, relax. But yeah.
Did you tell somebody that? Like, did you tell?
I told nobody. I didn't tell.
It really was totally
fucking
random.
Oh, I didn't tell a soul.
And it wasn't like on your Instagram or anything.
First off, it wasn't completely random.
They didn't like book Chase and cast Victoria because they knew once they found out.
It was game on.
Yeah.
Once they found out, then they hooked up the date for that one on purpose.
Well, when they found that out, they weren't like, well, maybe we should take Kelly because she's a big Chase Rice, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they told you, and I can't really speak a lot of stuff, but it was more than that. It was like he was apparently talking with them over the past like year and being under contract.
I heard he was really trying to get on that show for his team.
He was, and there was like a year span where he like didn't really know when he was, and then they called him 2 weeks before my date, and he had to cancel one of his tour dates.
So you think it was not as
genuine?
Saying,
just like that's all I'll say.
Okay,
this to me was potentially the most important information that comes out of this entire interview. Chase Rice was on tour, had to cancel a fucking date in order to make this show. This clip it's filled with so much that we need to get to. Nick Vial is at every turn trying to get her to admit that they had sex. This is something we all already know, but he wants her to say it there on his podcast, and he doesn't get that out of her. You hung out, you touched even, right? He says, it's a strange tack for the interview. The only thing that really matters here that he's trying to get out of her is, how did Chase Rice wind up on that show? And she tells us she told no one from the production staff. And she'll say in a later clip how it happened that they ultimately came to know through Marissa Pence. But the way she positions this, it now makes me believe that Chase Rice was the organizer of this. He was the one who facilitated it all because he did know that she was coming on this season.
What I hated about this clip was that she's acting so outraged that Nick even wants to talk about Chase Rice. She's like, he's not worth my time. And it's like, he's why you are famous. What does she think that is so interesting about her that like Nick is going to interview her about? Nick even asks her later, what's going on with you? What are your plans for the future? She says nothing. She has nothing to plug. So it's like, I don't understand what she thought this interview was going to be, what aspects of her personality are not being covered. And they talk about Chase Rice with such disdain, saying like, oh, his team booked this. And like, he was really trying to get on the show for a long time. And it's like, this is exactly what they did. Nick was on 4 seasons.
Of course. There is this strange double standard that all of them seem to have, that their fame is okay. Their fame is genuine. But if somebody else is trying to use the show to get famous, they're pieces of shit. It's the weirdest, most hypocritical attitude about fame. I mean, Nick has had it in multiple episodes, and now Victoria's got it on full display as well. Chase Rice, in my opinion, came out clean. He got the best deal out of all of this. Chase Rice has 1.1 million followers. So does Nick Viall. They're head-to-head there. He's beating Victoria Fuller, obviously, who has 583,000 followers. The week after Chase Rice appeared on the show, his new album charted number fucking one in country music Billboard.
Incredible.
Appearing on the show was obviously beneficial. And the song he sang on it, the middle stanza, is actually about The Bachelor, which I'm going to play for you now.
If you are, yeah, I'm lonely if you are. If it's Monday and it's over, you know the show you girls all come over for. And the red wine's getting lower, and your last friend's out the door. When there's no more roses to go around, hit me up, girl, you know I'm down.
So it seems to me Chase Rice was doing his homework. He was trying to get on the show for a year. He wrote a song about it. He sang that song on it. He had sex with one of the players before she was a player. Not that that was a conscious move maybe to get in the game, but certainly he used it to his advantage.
He's playing six-dimensional chess.
He's just like, if I have sex with enough women who come to my shows, one of them will wind up on The Bachelor. I will be able to use it in a hometown date or whatever. No, I don't think he's going that deep, but certainly to have this attitude about him that he's a piece of shit. Meanwhile, they're doing literally the exact same thing at a lower level, in my opinion. They're blinded by some idea of who they are, that fame isn't a part of it, or that somehow the way they've achieved their fame is more legitimate than anyone else who is using literally the exact same means.
Yeah, it's cleaner when it's like, both of them clearly have teams, too. So to say his team with such disdain is...
It's very nincompoopish.
It's bad. It's nincompoopery.
Well, speaking of nincompoopery, let's get on to our next clip.
Him and I had talked like in Fantasy Suites about everything that had happened and in that situation. And she made a comment that Peter was her ex-boyfriend. Okay, well, let this be known. They went on 2 dates and that was it. So he was also too like very confused as to why she was like making an appearance and why she was like, bizarre.
I went and looked her Instagram. Her Instagram refers to herself as a public figure.
Okay, I'm
and that's
sorry.
All I needed to see.
No. Let's set the record straight. She was a public figure within 24 hours of her coming to my hometown. So.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying the fact that she even called herself that.
Right. But think about it, she had like a swipe up code within 24 hours and was listed as a public figure after coming to my hometown. I'm not fucking kidding you. Like, that's how, like, this girl's not right in the head. So there's no time. We don't even need to waste time on her. She's fucking weird.
Was she the one who spread those rumors that were floating on the internet? Is that where it all started?
Absolutely. And producers also said, and I don't know if I'm even allowed to say this, we'll figure it out. But producers also said she was the one who had called in about Chase because she had found out. Yeah. So 3 weeks prior to me leaving.
Well, I do want to thank her for that.
How does this not cause you immense rage? Have we just switched places?
I think my way of dealing with the world ending is to just numb myself to any emotion.
Healthy.
there's so much more rage I would have at many other people and situations in the world. So I feel if I can numb myself to the rage I should be feeling at billionaires destroying the planet we live on with no hope of helping any other human being, if I can numb myself to that, I can certainly numb myself to Victoria Fuller being hypocritical about the nature of her own fame on the Vial Files.
I mean, her saying, let's be clear, Marissa only went on two dates with PP, and it's like, Victoria also did that. She had 2 one-on-ones and a 3-on-1 with PP. She had been on one more date than this girl at the time, and it was a 3-on-1 where she cried.
That last clip that I just played, let's break it down to its two components, because there are two big pieces of it that we really need to analyze. One is exactly what you're talking about, and we've already kind of hit on this. The hypocritical nature of Nick Vial and Victoria Fuller's understanding of their own fame. The person they're talking about in that clip, by the way, is Marissa Pence, who showed up on the daytime part of the Victoria Fuller hometown date. She shows up with a blurred face, and she tells Pilot Pete that Victoria Fuller has destroyed relationships in that town. So that's the person they're talking about in that clip. Now, the first part is them insulting her for seeking fame in the same way that they are. So again, they have this strange detachment from the idea that how they've achieved this fame, again, by appearing on the exact same show Marissa Pence has, is somehow better.
Oh, she got a swipe up code after she did that. And it's like, Victoria got a swipe up code after she did this.
And they're literally on a podcast talking about bachelor shit with each other because they were on the show. It is insane to me that any of these people, but it seems that Nick Vial does it more than most, have this attitude of my fame is better than your fame, or my attempt at it was a better attempt than yours. And for that reason, you're not even part of the conversation. It's this idea of, again, competition. He likes being first. And in his mind, he is in first place of the three people that are involved in this conversation. Marissa Pence, Victoria Fuller, and him, he's first in terms of his level of fame.
Yeah, he criticizes her for being a public figure on Instagram. His is entrepreneur. That's his category. I also love that her explanation for why Marissa is doing this and making up these lies about her being a homewrecker is like, girls are just jealous. It goes along this vibe of like women who are like, I just can't have guy friends. I mean, I can't have girlfriends. I can only have guy friends because girls are too much drama and they're just jealous of how pretty I am. And that's why they try to take me down. And to be clear, I don't know who is telling the truth. I don't know if Blurry Marissa is right or if Victoria is right. We don't have definitive proof, but...
Well, I mean, all I'll say is this. I don't have this clip in here, but later in the podcast, it's openly said by Victoria Fuller and Nick Vial that she's an honest person. They talk for roughly a minute with her just saying, I'm very honest. And Nick saying, yeah, I've only known you to be an honest person.
One of the first lines she says on this podcast is, I'm not a fucking liar.
Which means you are. That's a Donald Trump move. If you're telling anybody I'm honest, you're not honest. So we know that she's at least manipulating the truth a little bit in here. Marissa Pence might have too. Who knows? But at the very base level, these two people who have fame from The Bachelor being pissed at somebody because they're trying to seek fame from The Bachelor is insane to me.
Being pissed and calling her crazy, saying she's not right in the head.
And she has no defense for this. She's not on the podcast. They're just insulting her, slandering her for doing literally the same thing they did. So that's the first part of this. The second part is a little more informational. Victoria Fuller believes that it was Marissa Pence who told the producers about Chase Rice. This is unsubstantiated, of course. She has no proof to this end. However, that idea is put out there.
How would Marissa Pence know this?
How did Marissa Pence know about the relationship she's ruined?
Well, that's what I mean. If the Chase Rice thing is true, why wouldn't the homewrecking stuff be true if this is all stuff Marissa's reporting to the producers?
I don't know what's true or what's not. I only know what was said. But it is interesting to me if the actual series of events was Marissa Pence is somehow woven into this, probably through PP, because I'm sure they ask him about his extensive dating history, and she comes up. Maybe? I don't know. Like, how did she become a part of this show? If she has the information that Victoria Fuller is a homewrecker and that she had sex with Chase Rice, that's obviously valuable to the producers. But how was that ever found out? To me, that's the dig we'll never be able to dig deep enough. Marissa Pence, per this interview, is becoming a very central figure in some of the biggest events in PP season. And I need to know how she became that person.
Should we get her on the pod?
Love to do it.
For me, this whole thing is like, Victoria had months and months for her big coming out interview, whatever. It doesn't seem like she's prepared at all. Her like narrative doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not sure if it's lying, if she's a fucking liar or not, but I just would think that you would have some more coaching before you go into this, or have something to bring to the table, something that you're getting out of this interview other than sort of shitting on blurry Marissa and saying you're not a fucking liar over and over again.
Just to be clear, you did watch her on Pilot Pete's season, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think she's someone who prepares a lot. I think she just shows up, and if she gets in trouble, she starts crying.
Well, as they say later, you know, she's just Victoria. It is what it is.
Okay, moving on to the next clip.
That stuff gets out there, and everyone was talking about that in Bachelor Nation as if it was like, it was accepted as truth.
Right, and that's what's so frustrating, because it's like, if you knew the credibility of this person, you wouldn't believe
what
them.
What about anyone who might say they've heard it from more than one person, or...
That's not like, that's like saying, I don't know, it's like spreading a rumor and then someone picking up that rumor.
Because there was no...
There's
no receipts.
And I would, you know, that was the thing with me. I was like,
I've heard it. I've heard it. But there was no like...
Right. And I felt confident
enough. And that would be something you should have receipts for.
Well, also too, it's like, if you are going to say something that big, then like... follow it up. Like she thought she was like being a martyr, and oh, she's falling on the sword for these women and all these women who I've ruined their lives. And it's like, okay, well, where are all these women?
It was just somebody who liked Peter who didn't work out, and she got jealous, so she wanted to try and make something of it to make herself feel better.
Yeah. Thank you.
And to be like, look at me.
Yes.
I've told this to producers, one of the shittier things they do is to let
you did say that, yeah.
Let friends or whoever come on the show and speak their truth. I mean, yeah, and they
get to get off the show and they get to go like, live their life.
It's just like you just...
And I can't say anything.
And here's why I have a problem with that is specifically too, because you go on the show, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're on the show, we're going for Peter, and I'm like, Victoria Fuller's a bitch, and Victoria's like, Nikki's an asshole, and it's just like, it's all in that world, but you bring in someone outside, and then like an audience, they might, yeah, they'll take sides, and they'll be like, I'm team Victoria, or I'm team Nikki, or whatever, but then you bring in the outside person, person saying, I know this person in real life,
exactly.
And they're a bad person, mm-hmm. And then audience is like, oh,
they know them in real
they're
life.
They're like, that's who they are. And I think it's just fucking shitty.
They should have like only
for them to do that without really
diving deep.
I did not pick up on the fact that they said diving deep in this.
Neither did I. It's purely coincidental, or is it? All things are connected. I thought this clip was interesting because it is, again, them shitting on Marissa Pence in the beginning of the clip and, you know, kind of railroading her credibility in terms of whatever she might have said on the show. And then it's also them shitting on anyone who comes on the show that is not a main player or a lead, any of the friends or peripheral people who might come in to divulge information. And then it's them shitting on the show itself for allowing this. To me, this is absolutely fucking insane. Because they sign a contract that literally says you as a person going on the show can be presented in any way they see fit, including lying about you or airing your dirty laundry, your secrets, et cetera, with no limitations whatsoever. That's in the fucking contract. It's also a shocking level of misunderstanding of gameplay mechanics here. Because the game isn't just from night one to after the final rose. The game starts way before that. Once you know you're on the show, you tie up your fucking loose ends. You don't let a Marissa Pence exist. You make sure all your relationships with past exes are cool. You tell them I'm going on the show. I just want to let you know that. Obviously, that wasn't done with Marissa Pence because she shows up and does what she does. So it truly, in my mind, it's the player's fault if producers can even find a person like this in your life. You have to make sure that does not happen if you want to go in clean.
It's also the same tone that we saw when Nick was interviewing Reality Steve, when they're talking about how night one girls are so bitter and come and complain to Reality Steve. They're not Final Four. It's the same sort of categorization, like, oh, they're Marissa Pence wasn't like a Final Four person on PP season. She's just a friend coming in from the outside. She's like a lower class and therefore can't be trusted. And she's probably a fucking liar.
Certainly there's this implied camaraderie through Nick Viall's speech on this that is about the top four. And they use that phrase, the top four, a million times in this podcast. That seems to be, at least for leads and for the top players, the top four is a real fucking delineator. And it's playoffs. That's literally the playoffs. It's hometowns and fantasy suites. That's your top four. And so it's just more evidence that within this world, if you are a player, you view those people who make it to playoffs as a kind of more genuine version of the fame, more deserving of the fame that they get. And anyone below that, you can completely disregard anything they say, believe nothing they say, no matter what it may be talking about. In their last podcast that we did this with, I forget who he was talking about. Somebody went through a traumatic experience that he was just like, yeah, I don't believe that happened. Anyway, moving on to the next clip.
Because I was getting aggravated and I was getting annoyed that he didn't understand me or where I was coming from. So then I was like, you know what? Fuck this, like, kind of deal. And I was like, I'm done. And that's why I was like, if you're not gonna like, and then he wanted to go meet my family after, which was even worse. Cause I was like, you're gonna drop this fucking huge bomb. Now we have to definitely go inside and tell my parents. Cause he knew that too. He was like, well, we'll just explain to them. Yes. Yeah. And he was like, we'll just like explain to them like what happened. And I was like, how the fuck are we gonna explain this to them?
Honestly, that was a miss by you. Let me explain why.
Well, that's
your fam. It's hindsight's 2020, but listen, I get it. Right? You're frustrated.
How embarrassing. Yeah. You know what I mean.
But here's where this is a miss on your part. You like Peter. Not that you wanted to make Peter look bad, but your family watches you for 3 hours. You have to explain it. You go in there and you tell them the story. I just got accused of this crazy shit. Immediately, yeah. Your family goes to Peter. It's just like, wow, it seems like a weird thing to believe, but you've been dating for how long? Yeah. Why don't you fucking believe her?
I know.
And all of a sudden you have your team.
Okay.
You've been feeling all alone this whole time. And now you have your team and your team's going to be like, Peter.
That's amazing.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
And then Peter then has to explain to America and your family why he doesn't believe you.
You're right. And
what a mess.
This clip was like a juicy steak for me. I don't eat steak, but it was. It was the closest thing to eating a steak I will get. It's Nick Viall being given a brief moment to be back in the game, to coach her on a play that he thinks she fucked up on, which, by the way, he's wrong. So it also shows that he's out of the game too long and he doesn't quite understand it anymore. But you can hear in his fucking voice when he's like, it was a miss. Let me explain why. Let me explain. He re-hits that let me explain phrase twice to really set it up, to let us, the audience, know he's about to fucking drop some knowledge. And then he proceeds to tell her that this is how you should have done that play. And she's even going along with it. Oh my God, that would have been amazing. They are literally analyzing game tape here in their heads and telling us what play they think they should have done. Turns out she did the exact correct play because she makes it to fucking fantasy suites. This is exactly what she should have done. And it was a huge dramatic moment. It's part of the mystique of Victoria Fuller. How was she able to do these things and continue progressing? So Nick Viall is actually wrong. She played it exactly perfectly. But I loved hearing him go back into his game mind for just a moment.
For me, this was the very opposite of a steak, which is one of my favorite foods. This was like the time that I tried to go vegan and I ate seitan and it was traumatic. This is how I felt about this clip. It was just mansplaining 101. Him being like, let me explain to you why you fucked up. Oh, you're going to say something? No, let me explain. This is why it's a miss. And like you're saying, it's not a miss at all. Her failure to launch on this hometown date propels her past a week where we didn't think she could possibly continue past. Her zero family did better than Kelsey Weir's entire fucking family. And it just shows he didn't understand what she was doing right that whole season, which is basically just gaslighting Pee-Pee and being like, oh my God, you're in a mood. When, like, how could he not be in a mood when she's fucking crying and accusing him of shit this whole time, being extremely defensive when he brings up something, which if you're in a relationship with someone and considering an engagement and a lady approaches you at a concert and says she's a homewrecker, of course you're going to bring it up. And he doesn't bring it up in like a super accusatory way, which she reacts like he's done that. She's incredibly defensive and refuses to hear it.
And she actually, the following day, made a fantastic play when she showed back up at his hotel room to apologize, and she gave him the little picture that they took in the old-timey photo thing. Let's say that she would have done what Nick Bial says here. You bring Pee-Pee into the home. You light him up right in front of your parents. And now your parents have to grill him about why he doesn't believe their daughter, etc., etc. That hometown meeting the family would have gone horribly. The family would not have liked him. She would have probably been gone that round.
Yeah. She even says my dad would have lit him up.
So Nick Vial's strategy here falls flat, but it's coming from this place of narcissism. How would you make yourself look good? That's kind of all he's caring about. He's trying to put himself in her shoes, and he's trying to devise some way by which he would come out the winner of that event. And I think in his mind, that's it, because you have to put the other person on the defensive. You have to attack them in some way that they are not capable of defending. And that would have worked. It would have made Pee-Pee look very bad, but it wouldn't get you through to the next round. So I think his, as he said in the very beginning of this podcast, I love being first. That all-consuming desire would have actually sunk him in this round had he been the one in Victoria Fuller's place.
You know, Close, I hear what you're saying, and here's why your analysis is a total miss. I'm just joking. It's spot on.
So, on to the next clip.
Before we wrap things up, you were just here. You're here in LA. The only reason why you're here is because you had a Final Four party. That's not what most people think when they say the Final Four in basketball.
Yeah.
The Peters Final Four women got together. It's not the woman he's currently with who is on a season, Kelly.
Yeah.
Did you guys spend all weekend talking shit about Kelly?
Oh my God, it's so Peter? Funny. Everyone wants to know this.
Wait, why would you like all come together? What is a Final Four?
It wasn't a Final Four trip. It was the Final Four women on Peter's season. All got together, and I'm assuming,
you guys are just like, hey, let's hang out.
Yeah.
It wasn't for something. You're just like, oh, we're friends.
It was for engagement.
Shut up. So you're such a shithead.
Well. Mr. Vial was very aware of the Four Horsewomen of the Apocalypse showing up at the Californian Hotel to do their spawn con this past week.
What's the parasocial play of the week? How could he miss it?
He said something very interesting here. They're talking about why they all got together, and he said it was for engagement. And then she goes, shut up, you're a shithead. He's kind of making fun of her because it was spawn con. He's basically saying their hanging out together is not real. It was just for their social media engagement. He's saying it in a way that's derogatory. Meanwhile, he's literally making a podcast about The Bachelor, does all of his own spawn con too. He's shitting on her for doing the exact same thing he does, but there's a hint of jealousy in it because he's not at the Hotel Californian with three of the other most famous people in the contemporary Bachelor world. He wants to be in on it.
He can't get that level of engagement.
He can't. No, exactly correct. And so by shitting on them doing it for just engagement, he's trying to once again elevate himself, because this is something he now knows he has no chance at being in anything as popular as even their posts at the Californian.
I think it would be hilarious if he can get the Final Four from Caitlyn's season to get together and do SpawnCon together, him and Sean Booth and whoever else it was.
If Vial is ever able to get Sean Booth on his podcast, I'm going to listen to that 100 times in a row. I am going to savor every moment of that. I don't think it'll ever happen, but that to me is potentially one of the biggest rivalries in modern history.
Yeah, it's interesting that Nick's producer chimes in here and says it wasn't for something when it's clearly a very calculated trip by these four women. They don't really appear to be friends. They're all wearing matching outfits. They've tagged the wine tasting. They've tagged the hotel. They all have their own individual SpawnCon that they do during this, such as Victoria Fuller doing this like facial steamer thing that she sells. I mean, to say that it's not for something is the complete opposite. It's for many things. It's for about 15 different products.
And now we come to the final clip that I wanted to play. This happens toward the end of the show. Nick Vial asks Victoria Fuller to engage in this game where a question is put out by Nick Vial. These are things that either he or he and his producer have come up with. And then both he and his producer have to chime in before Victoria Fuller answers. They decide whether they think she will know the answer to this question or not. And so here is a clip. Once again, just to remind you, as you're listening to it, this is something Nick Vial wrote with a specific purpose in mind. Here's the clip.
Can Victoria name the three branches of government? I'm going to say yes.
Okay. I'm going to say yes as well.
Okay. Do you want me to go ahead and name them?
Yeah.
Republican? Is that not what we're talking about?
The three branches of government.
Oh, like Senate. What are we saying? Wait, I don't know. Can we elaborate? Don't make me look.
No.
Okay, fine.
The answer is no.
Well, what is it?
Listen, someone's going to write some comment, just, you know, executive, legislative, and judicial.
Okay, first off, don't put this in there.
And there you have it. That was our final clip. The reason that I said to keep in mind that he wrote this is because what is the purpose of this question? There is only one. It is to make someone look very bad. There's no other way around it. If somebody's like, yeah, I know what they are, great, move on. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get her to look bad here. But he's also doing something that's a little bit high level. He's trying to hide the fact that that's why he's asking this question by giving the answer that he thinks, yes, she will know the three branches of government. So he appears to not be an asshole. And yet, the construction of the question and its asking proves that he is.
He's including it in the edit.
He's including it in the edit, certainly. But even in the asking of the question, there's only one outcome you're looking for. It's for them to not know this answer. And this is just what the producers of the show do. He is essentially performing a little Bachelor producer light manipulation on her here. And it's just such a shitty thing to do to a guest on your podcast to try and actively make them look stupid and then to include it.
After he's taken her podcast virginity.
This was her podcast virginity? Oh, that's right.
Well, it was her first interview after the show. That's a little callback. My main takeaway, which I have not actually brought up here yet, Nick has responded to the negative reaction to his interview with Reality Steve being like, oh, I didn't think people actually considered me a journalist. Like, that's so funny to me. And I don't know if he has changed his outlook on whether he's a journalist or not, but to me, it is unethical to not ask her about the White Lives Matter modeling during this interview. And this is as close as to politics as it gets. And maybe she said, I won't come on if we talk about that, but it's a glaring missing piece from this interview, especially given what's going on in the world. And it just feels like such a fluff piece to not have anything relating to that in it.
I completely agree. I listened to the whole thing waiting for that question. And about halfway through, I was just like, he's not going to fucking ask her. Who am I kidding? Who am I fucking kidding?
Who was I kidding?
And then it comes to this question in the end. The other piece of this last clip also, everything we've said being said She didn't know the three branches of government. Like, she didn't know them. She thought fucking Republican was one of them. And that's the first thing out of her mouth. This is the show we watch. These are the people we are watching.
I mean, that does make me feel better that maybe she isn't voting. That does make me feel better, I guess. Yeah. I mean, when we're discussing about who are they going to be able to vote on Matt James's season, it's like, oh, if it's people like Victoria on there, they're probably not even asking if they can.
But it's such a weird thing, especially because this election is so fucking huge. Shouldn't they make an episode out of it where they all go vote?
Shouldn't they? Shouldn't we make a national holiday out of it?
Anyway, thank you guys for digging deeper with us into the pit and into this episode of Vial Files, which we felt had some very important things in it that needed and deserved a little bit more scrutiny. And we will be back next Tuesday with a full episode for you. We have some very interesting things in store, so be sure to tune in.
Praise be Lord Harrison.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then